You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Yeah, you are. And congratulations for doing that on a Tuesday, the 10th day of January, the, the year 2017. Let me tell you what we're doing today. Today's, sadly, today is my Sister Maureen's birthday. She passed away 3 years ago. And it's, you know, it's still hard to believe that she's, you know, gone. She struggled with substance abuse and ultimately died of exposure after drinking. And yeah, she would have been 56 today. So sad. My sister Maureen. Beautiful, athletic, smart, had almost every gift that God could give somebody, and but struggled in life with substance abuse, and I think her own demons. And so, sad, kind of a sad day. So, if you're struggling with your demons, man, go get help. A lot of people that the movie, I don't know, for whatever reason, It's a Wonderful Life pops into my head talking about this. And when George Bailey says, you know, I wish I was never born. And then his angel gives him a chance to see what life would have been without him on the planet, the people whose lives he touched, the people that depend on him and all of that. And so if you're listening to this and you're struggling, and everybody does, and there's no shame in it. Reach out to your friends, reach out to your battle buddies, reach out to the people that care about you, and don't be afraid. Just say, hey, man, I need help. And trust me, they'll help. And they'll get you the help you need. So that's the whole purpose, honestly, of All Marine Radio. All Marine Radio is a place where hopefully people come and they listen to our culture. Stories about our culture, the fights in our culture, that people fight every day and from every walk of life. And then by listening to that, coming to the realization that, you know what? Everybody out there fights it. So, so the program today dedicated to my sister Maureen. Growing up, she was my best friend. She was a tomboy, and we would, get out of school and we would, my dad was in, baseball, so he'd leave in February to go to spring training, and he was in the minor leagues. And so we would go to Binghamton, New York. We would go to, Mobile, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, and then, she'd play in everything I organized. She'd play, this is in the '60s, right? She'd play touch football in the street. She'd play baseball. She'd play basketball in the driveway. She would play, hockey. I would make kids hockey sticks and we'd play hockey. So, you know, the more it's hard for me to believe that she's not alive anymore. Today my thoughts, go to her. Her Facebook page is still up. And, if you have issues, you know, by all means, you know, there's no shame in that. You know, go take care of them and just continue to fight. You know, I think it's one thing that our culture knows. And I say our cultures, our families know that. Normally we come from a family that, you know, kind of spawned us into that similar value. So we're not no strangers to it, but keep fighting. Keep fighting. A lot of people care about you and you're a part of a lot of people's lives, although you may not know it. And Brigadier General Tom Drought is going to join us in about 11 minutes. And we're just going to talk current events with him for about a half hour. And then we're going to pick up a conversation that we started yesterday, and I got a couple emails after the program. So I wanted to have Tim Lynch back on. Tim, former Marine Corps infantry officer, retired as a major corpsman in Beirut. Yeah, imagine that. But Tim was a contractor for a company that worked for USAID in Afghanistan, and he lived out amongst the people. So I got some interesting questions yesterday after we went off the air. So I want to entertain that. And I want to entertain that. And I'm going to have him paint a picture of just daily life in Afghanistan for the people that live there. You know, it's not a picture that, you would get every day. And so we'll do that. We'll take your calls and your email questions, however you want to participate. But if there's anything you want to know relative to daily life in Afghanistan, how they live, Tim's going to come back. And he lived out amongst them, and he's going to tell us. So, and you know, kind of educate us a little bit about the big T, little T, big Taliban, little Taliban, all of that. So, interesting show. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the USO. A woman by the name of Randy Baker is going to join us. Gunner has an interesting story about her. You'll hear about it. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny because it comes out of anger. That's what makes it funny. And so we'll talk about. And let me tell you, the USO is a great organization. It's an awesome organization. And so we'll talk about the USO. Wherever you go around the world, you know, you get off an airplane, here's somebody from the USO standing there at 3 a.m. saying, "Welcome to Germany." And you're just like, "You got to be kidding me, man. Don't you people sleep?" So, very cool stuff. Anyway, so we'll talk to Randy Baker. There's a project that Mike wants you to know about, and some people need help. So, anyway, it's through the USO that that this is happening. So, there you have that. All right. Now, that's what's on the program. United States Marine Corps band gets the program officially underway. Happy birthday to my sister Maureen. And let's do this. Oh, and one other thing. Yeah, a couple weeks ago, Brigadier General David Furness was on. And Chief Warrant Officer 5, otherwise known as Gunner Michael Musselman, was on. We predicted the College Football National Championships. Only one of us predicted it correctly. Yeah, I'll let you all guess who that was. Mm-hmm. That would be me.
Our flag shall throw to So, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have to admit, after trash talking to Gunner, I fell asleep. I rolled over and watched Clemson dive into the end zone. I watched the whole game up to that point. But for some reason, I've been waking up at like 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, what are we, barbarians? All right, let me check the weather real quick, and then Tom Drott is going to join us. Currently 27 degrees. I'm laughing. My oldest son going to the range this week, I think. Yeah, they were busy going over the weekend or some craziness. Out there humping away in Quantico, Johnny boy. Go get him, kid. 27 degrees under cloudy skies in Quantico. 37 under cloudy skies at Camp Lejeune. Mike Musselman's hometown, 63 and cloudy right now. It was 22 like 5 days ago. Up in North Dakota, Grand Forks, 5 degrees above and cloudy. How about that? 29 Palms, sunny and 42. Camp Pendleton, cloudy and 51. Camp Smith, partly cloudy, 67 in Hawaii. In Okinawa, partly cloudy, 61 and dark. Fallujah, dark, clear, and 54. The home of All Marine Radio. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach, 52 and cloudy. I'll tell you what, the Sierras are just getting hammered with rain and snow. They said that they verified this, but there was a wind gust up to 173 miles an hour, and that old Sequoia that people used to be able to drive through, that they hollowed out in the 1880s, that thing blew over and dead now, in a bunch of little pieces. Yeah, how much does that suck? But, yeah, I want to say several feet of snow, avalanche issues up there, and mudslides in the foothills. So California, Northern California, just getting hammered by rain. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. Tom Drott is set to join us when we come back. We're going to talk current events with a very, very interesting guy to have on the program and somebody I love having on. So more of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday coming up next.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Seventeen minutes after 7 o'clock here on the West Coast. So on the East Coast, it's 10:17, midway through the morning. Joining me is a retired Marine Corps Brigadier General Tom Droughty. Sir, first of all, good morning. How are you?
Just great, Mac. Thank you, and a happy New Year again. Another year in which to excel.
Well, happy New Year to you. Did you do anything special for the New Year? How did you ring it in?
I was asleep at the time of the clock ticking down. That's one of the either disadvantages or advantages of getting up in age is you don't go out on amateur's night, which is very dangerous at times, and you get whatever rest you can. So it was a very quiet ease into 2017. Thank you.
And let me tell you, you weren't alone there. I'm not going to give away any family secrets, but all I'll say is you were not alone at being in bed at that hour. I wanted to have you on today, sir, and talk current events with you. First of all, before I start asking questions, I'll ask you an open question. Your thoughts, I mean, just been through a very, very obviously interesting election. Marines headed back to Helmand Province. A lot of interesting challenge. Some of the stuff fallout from the election is the way the media brings us news these days. So, be curious. Do you have any general thoughts or anything sticking in your craw, or anything that you want to get off your chest before I start asking questions?
No, just a few thoughts regarding the media, and right. As you know, my last job in active duty is Director of Public Affairs, with no experience in it, and yet as an officer of Marines for almost 30 years, you could say a lot of experience in it, because Marines, by and large, are skilled either innately or by education in the necessity to respect the role of the press. And what I was able to establish was to get media instruction for lieutenants at the basic school, and people thought that was kind of strange. And I said, no, you just have to understand that the good reporters, and I believe most of them are good and do not come in with an agenda, although there are obviously some exceptions, but they want to get the story right. And so oftentimes the right story is not up with the generals and colonels and so forth, no offense intended, but it's down with the corporals and sergeants and lieutenants. So I thought that was necessary. And then, of course, at Command Staff College and other schools of the Marine Corps, to ensure that we had an understanding of the role of the press and to not make the mistakes of some of our fellows in the other services who oftentimes see the press as the enemy. They're not the enemy. They are not our friend. They are the eyes and ears of the American people. And the mortal sin for any military person is to lie to the press. You don't have to answer every question, of course, but lying to the press is just an absolute no-no. So these are just some of the basic things that I try to accomplish. But I think, by and large, a good reporter wants to get the story right. And we ought to help in any way that we can in that regard. And then you think about it, what a great story Marines have to tell. I mean, why would you ever want to hide or disguise the wonderful things that the Marine Corps do for Marines themselves as well as for our country? So anyway, if that sounds like a plug for the media, I guess it's more of a plug for Marines to understand the role of the media and to be grown up and professional and their relationships with them.
Interesting, sir. We throw around terms, and I do the news every day, right? So I wind up, perusing all these different web pages of content. And it's very interesting when you do this every day, especially through the election, the marked difference between what I would call news organizations and then what I would call news entertainment organizations. You've been in public affairs. Can you tell everybody what is the technical definition in journalism of a reporter?
Well, there's the reporter for the news, and this is kind of a basic thing, and yet it escapes so many people. If you pick up your newspaper, your front page and the first few pages ought to report the news, that is facts, what took place, verifiable incidents, experiences, etc., that are as close as the reporters can get to what actually took place. You then go to the opinion page, the editorials, and this is where you get the opinions. And so now you get the slant, the agenda, whatever, of that particular reporter or that particular newspaper. And so people say, gee, why would you ever read the Washington Post? Well, because the Washington Post, for the most part, does a good job of the news part. That is up front. I don't agree oftentimes with the editorial aspects, mm-hmm. but I still read it to understand what that site is saying and what it's trying to say. So I guess what I would designate as a reporter is someone who is hired to find out what took place, to get the information, and then to present it in a way that is going to be understandable to its readers, to its followers.
I think that we're, a lot of times when you hear, especially on TV, they talk to their correspondents. Well, they specifically do not call them reporters for a reason, because they're gonna give you a report from, let's just say, the White House, and then the host is gonna turn around and ask them an opinion question. Now, technically, a reporter, correct me if I'm wrong, sir, a reporter doesn't have an opinion.
In regard to the news, absolutely. The reporter is there to report the news, and the opinions are saved for the editorial page. Let me give you kind of an example. Years ago, when I was at the Marine Corps University Foundation, there was a lady who worked on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, and I met her at one of the sessions, and I'm not sure what it was. Anyway, she had a son who was interested in the Marine Corps, asked if I could meet him, answer questions and so forth, which I did. I then later, for my class on information operations, brought in a reporter from the Wall Street Journal, Julian Barnes. And you've probably seen his name many times, especially military reporting.
Yes, sir.
So one time I asked Julian if he knew this woman at the Wall Street Journal, kind of thinking, just like a big, you know, squad bay. You know, everybody knows one another. And
it's not? It's not? What the hell?
Yeah. And he was kind of surprised, and he says, oh, no, she's on the editorial side, and there is a firewall at the Wall Street Journal between those who do news and those who do opinions. And I really thought that was kind of interesting. Here they're working for the same outfit,
mm-hmm.
And yet didn't know each other, and both, you know, accomplished journalists in every respect, but the one was with the editorial side, the other was with the news side. So that always struck me as a dramatic example of the difference between the two.
Well, you know, and I think appropriate because there is so much confusion in the newstainment business. What is news and what is opinion, and it kind of merges itself. And you know, and how do I, you know, a constant question: where do I get the facts about a story? And so I'll ask you, sir, where. And I'll tell you where I get them, but I'm curious. When you read news, all right, and again, the technical term news, where do you go to read news?
The Wall Street Journal. And I do that starting with the front page of the news, that is, events that have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Then going back to see what the editorials have to say, because I found those interesting as well.
Right.
But when I was in the Washington, D.C. area, I also subscribed to the Washington Post as well as the Wall Street Journal, because the front page, for the most part, was a fairly unbiased, objective news. And then I wanted to take a look at the editorials to see what the Post was saying about different events. Because, and I just a little plug for education and university, and I'm back in the teaching business right now, and I told my students yesterday, a university is this magical place where you can get all these, or hear all these different ideas and views and so forth, and then evaluate them, and then accept, reject, defer judgment, whatever the case may be. But it's a golden opportunity to expand and to learn by having exposure to these things that you normally would not. And so I think it's wrong, or I can only speak for myself. I always thought that I should try to get a balanced input as to what people were thinking. Not that I would agree with necessarily wholeheartedly without question one side or the other, but I at least wanted to evaluate and think about it, you know, balance it against my values, my experience, my instincts, and then, you know, come up with my own conclusions, as I would hope the students would do as well.
You know, I have to tell you that I used to, and the way I noticed kind of this, the drastic difference in the news, it was, I kind of arrange the tabs on my internet browser alphabetically. So I would start, the first one I'd look at was CNN, actually the Associated Press, and then CNN, and then I'd look at the Drudge Report, I'd look at the LA Times, I'd look at Google News, I'm trying to do this alphabetically, Google News, the LA Times, NBC News, the New York Times, and then I'd get to Reuters, and then USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post were last.
Uh-huh.
By the time I got to them, I had seen so much garbage. Honestly, if you do it like that, I'm astounded now. And so what I started doing was I eliminated. I now go through when I do news headlines in the morning, I'll go through the news headlines on the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post, and Reuters, and that's it. Because to me, the rest of them, there's too much editorial content, there's too much bias in what they put up there, and I think a lot of it is click-driven. Where I see, and then I'll throw the New York Times in there, although the New York Times, to me, it's supposed to be, you know, the gray lady, it's supposed to be the standard of, you know, of what is news.
All the news that's fit to
be reprinted.
Yeah.
But I see it as a step or two behind the Washington Post, which I see is a little bit behind the Wall Street Journal, and I'm just talking reporting. To me, too much of the New York Times' editorial page, the leanings bleed into the headlines, and it seems like some of the news writing in the New York Times, but they are vastly different than what you see with, you know, CNN and Fox, which have to me been so corrupted. And the danger to this, and I'm curious because now you're a teacher, there's a danger to this in our democracy when the press, who has such a key role, when Americans don't know, I read a news story. Well, yeah, but what you read was entertainment. You know, it was designed. I'm curious about your thoughts, because to me this is a real problem for the country, and that people don't know where to get quality news so that they can form an opinion, and it's almost like their opinion is going to be skewed from the get-go because they're looking at unnewsworthy sources for what they believe to be news. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I think you've hit on a key point here, Mac, and first of all, the freedom of the press is one of the strongest points of our democracy and the Bill of Rights. It's interesting, the class I'm teaching on why we fight and how we fight U.S. wars, I'm starting off with the Constitution. And a good share of the students are ROTC cadets and midshipmen. And so I began the other day by saying, okay, for those of you who are going to be commissioned, I've got this lengthy document that I want you to, you don't have to read it or anything, just raise your hand and sort of support it, and we'll just move on from there. But I have to warn you that swearing to support it may cost you your life or limb. And it looked at me kind of strange. I said, what I'm talking about is the Constitution. And so in this class, we're going to read the Constitution. And I will, along with that, confess that in my 34 and a half years of service, four as a midshipman and 30 and a half years in the Marine Corps, although I swore many times to support and defend the Constitution, I never read it until now. So I said, you're going to at least be able to tell people you read the Constitution. But it gets back to the necessity for that press that, as I use the term, the eyes and ears of the American people, but only if those eyes and ears are not biased by, you know, some agenda, some preconceived notion of what the outcome ought to be rather than what the outcome truly is. It's interesting, in talking about the New York Times, at one time it had such a powerful hold on the rest of the newspapers and countries that they tell the story of a reporter for one of the other newspapers was present when this event took place. It was a tragedy of some kind or disaster or whatever, but he was on the site, you know, on scene, saw everything that took place, sent the report back in, and the response was, gee, this is very interesting, but we really can't put it out until the New York Times reports it, because if the New York Times, until the New York Times reported it, it really didn't happen. Boy, think of the power that exerted at one time, and thank goodness that's no longer the situation. So how do we do it? Well, I think you got to, as you are, continuing to search and continuing to evaluate and to seek those indications of bias or prejudice that are in what is supposed to be unbiased or unprejudiced reporting. And once again, good reporters, from my experience, they want to get it right, and they come in without a bias. Now, they may be liberals, conservatives, whatever by nature, but their job is to get the story right. And once again, I get back to the service and the Marine Corps specifically, and the assistance we can provide in helping them get the job right, get the story right.
You know, sir, I probably shouldn't do this on the air, but I will. I have a business in my head, and it's a website. There was a website that I used to go to called breakingnews.com that was owned by NBC, but they shut it down. And it's really interesting because it's just new, it's just headlines, all right, of things that are breaking around the world. And I liked it because It was news. I'm trying to find out why NBC shut it down, because it probably wasn't generating enough revenue or something like that. It wasn't glitzy enough. But in my mind, I have this idea for a business. It would be largely operated by disabled veterans who were interested in journalism. And we would create a page, and I don't know if we'd call it credible news or something like that. But
straight scoop.
The straight scoop. There you go. The straight scoop from the slop shoot. I had a 91-year-old Marine veteran of Iwo Jima telling me, it's a great interview that's on our website. His name is Cal Humphrey, and he went ashore as a PFC and wound up as a squad leader. But he was telling me he made a comment about John Bazelon, and in the interview, and I said, "You knew John Bazelon?" He said, "Well, yeah, he was in the regiment." And he said, "I said, well, how did you get to know him?" He said, "Well, there wasn't much to do, and you know, after we got done working, we'd head down to the slop shoot and buy 5-cent beers, and John was a pretty good guy, even better guy when he was drinking." And so the word slop shoot makes me laugh. But it makes me think of Cal Humphrey and Marines getting ready to do Iwo Jima. And so funny. Just, I don't know. Anyway, an aside. But it would be the straight scoop. It would be stories that you know as a reader that these guys are vetting writers, reporters that they know to be credible. So if you're talking about the incident down in Fort Lauderdale, you know, we're not going to, you know, you might be wrong about it, you know, and you might be a little bit slower because you're going to wait till quality, reputable news sources that you can trust, right? And I go back to when I was young, you know, sir, and when you were young, I mean, Walter Cronkite, you know, Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, when those guys reported the news, you didn't think that they were selling something. They were news guys. And it's like we're so far away from that that it's ridiculous. And I think that I don't want to say, to me, there's an element of danger to the democracy in terms of the way news is reported now.
Well, the danger is when that tremendous source of information becomes corrupted, and therefore that we cannot rely on it as a source of information upon which to make decisions, come to conclusions, and you know who and what we vote for, what we stand for, or what will not stand for. I mean that's how we get our information is through the news. So it's just so critically important that it remained as objective as possibly can be, and certainly not corrupted with a going in agenda or tainting or prejudice of one view or another. That then is not news. That's opinion disguised as news.
It is, and so what do you think of that idea as a business, sir?
I like it. I think it'd be a great idea. And one of the things is that it would kind of add the element of time. You know, the old story: the first reports are always inaccurate.
Roger.
And so often that's the case with the first reports. But the news organizations are in competition to be the first, you know, with the story, and oftentimes it is inaccurate, despite this, many times their best efforts. So having a little bit of time to get, you know, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to phrase it, I think would be most useful to then be able to say, okay, I now believe that this is what actually took place, despite some of the earlier reports.
My guest this morning is a retired Marine Brigadier General Tom Droughty, and we're talking about the media. You know, what was interesting about what they would do on this BreakingNews.com was they would tell you that something, you know, we are seeing reports of the editor who was on watch. My thought is disabled veterans, combat disabled veterans that are interested in journalism that might not be ambulatory, so that, you know, they but that this would be something that well, there, somebody's on watch, and say you break up the day into 6 4-hour parts. So you're going to be the editor for 4 hours, and you're monitoring all these Twitter feeds and whatnot. As news is breaking, you see it. Well, you can alert people. There's an incident being reported on Twitter at the Fort Lauderdale airport. We're standing by for the first credible report, and we'll bring that to you. And then that goes up on your website. So you've alerted people, but what you're looking for are credible sources that report credible information, and hopefully you build a reputation for, if you go here, you're gonna see quality stuff. And you're going to be able to form an opinion, and you're going to be able to, you know, whether you want to discuss it or simply be in the know, this is the place where these guys vet it. And I think it's an idea that certainly, based on the last election, certainly needs to be, you know, examined.
Yeah, and going along with that is the necessity, though, to really be objective, and that's oftentimes difficult to do. You know, not every story about the Marine Corps is a good story. You know, we have our challenges as well as the others, and there's a tendency as Marines, God bless us all, to want to protect and defend the reputation of the Marine Corps against all odds, sometimes even against the truth. And so that would be the real challenge, is that when a bad story about the Marine Corps is developing, that there's not a, and I have to challenge myself in this regard to just, you know, kind of take a deep breath and say, okay, when a director of public affairs, Otto Kreischer, who's a really good reporter, served in the Marine Corps, and gave me the advice that bad news always gets out. Good news only gets out when you work at it. But the trick with bad news is to get it out quickly and accurately, and then it'll be overcome by somebody else's bad news who wasn't smart enough to get it out quickly and accurately. But I guess what I'm saying is that those individuals who are putting that up have to understand that objectivity can sometimes be challenging and can sometimes be painful.
You know, sir, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, put the bad news up, take your face shot, and then you'll be respected for taking that face shot. The Marine Corps is doing that right now in Parris Island.
Yeah.
The one thing, and I'm curious, I know you have to go, sir, but I have two questions for you, if you could give me quick answers.
You bet.
I think that the Marine Corps needs the disciplinary hearings, or whatever happens with the regimental commander, with the base commanding general at Parris Island, with the base sergeant major, with the regimental sergeant major, the regimental, all those, that needs to be just as public as what these staff sergeants are going through. Because to me, I've had General Jarvis Lynch on, Major General retired, and I had General Joe Hoare on, both former commanding generals at Parris Island. They both said the same. I said, how do you put an end to this? He said, both said, quote, you got to get out there. You got to walk around. You got to know those drill instructors by name. And if you're out and about as a CG, then the trickle-down theory applies. You better be seeing other people out and about, or it's going to be hell. Your thoughts on that? To me, the whole thing about Abu Ghraib that still bothers me is we saw sergeants and staff sergeants get hammered in the national media, and where were the officers that are charged with the supervision of that? Oh, they're going to be disciplined in private. I don't like that, sir. Your thoughts on that?
No, couldn't agree with you more. Part of the leader is to see and be seen. And when I was with USAA, we had saying that you can pretend to care, but you cannot pretend to be there. A leader has got to get out and be there and to see and be seen. And by his or her presence indicates an interest, an obvious interest, because of the presence that I think is critical. The openness is also a factor. We believe in our procedures, and we believe that they're correct and proper and fair, and therefore they should be available for others to evaluate as well, and to take away then that thought of, well, the Marines are covering this up again, and therefore only the lower-ranking folks are going to suffer the consequences. Just like officers eat last in the chow line, officers are first in the accountability chain.
Well, you know, I believe that, you know, but most of the time it makes me, you know, feel bad for these sergeants and staff sergeants. Article 32 hearings are open to the public, their names. But you know what? I mean, I don't want to say those guys are victims because they make their own choices and they knew the SOP, they knew the rules, and what they were doing was clearly wrong. However, there's another group that should be sitting, in my opinion, right there with them at every one of those hearings, and that is their commanding officers, their sergeant majors, their first sergeants. Those guys should all be there, and that would be a message to everyone in the Marine Corps about supervision and accountability. And
accountability, yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So, all right, sir. First of all, thank you for doing this today. And
was there two?
Well, I was just going to a general thought on General Mattis and General Kelly. Both their confirmation hearings are set to begin here pretty soon. Your thoughts on how that'll go? Are you interested to see the dynamic between career Marine general officers, intellectual guys with a ton of experience, and the politics of Washington D.C.?
I think it'll be a gigantic eye opener for the American public to see such two accomplished, intelligent patriots that we were fortunate enough to have in our ranks as Marines, and now the country is going to be fortunate enough to have as members of the cabinet. But the image of Marines, of, you know, the mad dog thing, all of that notwithstanding, but the image of Marines of being knuckle-dragging, you know, dumb but loyal, is certainly going to be diminished or eliminated when Generals Mattis and Kelly are presented to the American public.
And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff standing right next to him
is
a subordinate of theirs.
Yeah, three of the smartest guys I know, you bet.
But no, great, I remember General Kelly had that poster that said, "You're the Corps' best advertisement," and it had him standing there. And so the Marine Corps will have certainly three great advertisements for what we are, but it'll be interesting. All right, sir, I truly appreciate you coming on today. Interesting discussion about the media. And
Mac, a real quick one. I just took up in the news that President-elect Trump is looking at the current Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bob Work, a Marine, to continue on as his deputy. So it could be another Marine up in the upper ranks there.
Wow. Wow, we're slowly taking over the world. That ought to scare everybody. Okay, wait till we implement our PT plan on the country. That's right. Get down at the... All right, sir, have a great day.
All right, take care. God bless you and Semper Fidelis, man.
You bet. That is retired Marine Brigadier General Tom Drowdy. You know what? I love All Marine Radio, honestly. The discussions that I have... and the guys I've been able to cross paths with and meet are awesome guys. And you know what? I love hearing that from him. You know, that he believes that all those officers and staff NCOs ought to be sitting in there with those staff sergeants at their Article 32 hearings. That's right. That's appropriate. They're their Marines. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the Taliban, what it's like to live, in that triangle of Jarrah, which is the elected government in Afghanistan, right? The Taliban at one corner of the triangle, and American/NATO intervention. What is it like for to be a civilian? Tim Lynch lived amongst them, and we started yesterday. I got some more email for him, so we're gonna try to paint you a picture of what it's like to be living, and he's going to explain the difference between the big T and the little T, big Taliban, little Taliban. So Tim Lynch will join us next on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website. Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do. And I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org
MilitaryBase.com/Marines.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Veteran Sergeant Gnarly Irma here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.